Hi, everybody. I'm Louise Eddington, the Cosmic Owl, Cosmic Owl Astrology. I am a wisdom weaver, coach, mentor, astrologer, shamanic practitioner, whatever you want to say. But I've decided I sum it up as a wisdom weaver. I would try and weave the energies of the cosmos so that you are able to more fully live a life of abundance and creativity. Now then, oh, here we are, the Aries eclipse. And so I'm going to go and do a deep dive into the solar eclipse that's on April the 8th. But the first thing I want to say is please subscribe to my channel. Please give me a thumbs up or leave me a comment. I love engagement, but I also want to send a big hug and lots of love to the person or persons that gives me a thumbs down on my videos. It says more about you than me. What? Scroll if you don't like it. You don't like what I have to say and don't have the courage, which is very Aries, to actually say why. Then just scroll on by or have a good look at yourself, because this is an Aries eclipse, which is very much about the self, about why you do that. Not that I expect to please all of the people all of the time, but I kind of find a thumbs down reaction the height of kind of cowardice, really. It's kind of like, being a little bit snippy, a little bit mean without actually having the courage to actually say something. So I send you a hug. You obviously need it. Anyway, back to the eclipse. And oh gosh, where are we going? This eclipse is on April the 8th. It's huge. It's a total solar eclipse. At the maximum duration under totality, it's 4 minutes and 28 seconds, which is really long. The eclipses generally kind of last maybe a couple of minutes. We do have a big eclipse on October the 2nd this year. But it's not a total solar eclipse. It's an annular, and that's a really long one as well. The annulars tend to be a bit longer because that's the ring of fire. Okay, but the next total solar eclipse that is actually longer than this is going to be in 2027. That's 6 minutes. That one's over Egypt, I believe. Then there's another one in another annular in 2028. And there's another total in 2028 that's also really long, but they will not be over the USA. And that's where I live. And that's where we're at now. We are having a total solar eclipse at 19 Aries, conjunct Chiron, making lots of aspects. I'll talk about them all in a minute. And it's moving up from through Mexico, up through Texas, up through the middle of the country, up through Maine, and out through Canada. And it does cross the path of the eclipse of August the 20th. First 2017 that split the country in two. So, but I'm not going to talk about the US itself. I just kind of wanted to give you the path of totality. There's a great site called timeanddate.com that will give you lots of information about the eclipse if you want to know more. It gives you timelines, it gives you totality, it gives you maps, it gives you a countdown until it's coming. So let me actually share that page with you. You can find out a lot about these eclipses from this wonderful site. Here you go. So this is the Great North American Eclipse, which the last one was the Great American Eclipse. You can see it's 9 days, 20 hours and 47 minutes and counting down. This is an animation I'm not going to play that shows you what the eclipse looks like near the maximum point. This is a detailed eclipse path map if you want to have a look. And that's a 3D global map. This kind of gives the partial visibilities as well. So you can see this is a big eclipse, all right. The eclipse shadow path in closer there, and when the eclipse happens on a worldwide timeline. So you can see it in different places. So timeanddate.com, fantastic site if you want to kind of know the astronomical details, where you could see it, what you'll see where you are, if you're not traveling to see it, all of those things. But let's go to the astrology and everything else that I usually talk about. So I actually pulled two cards with this eclipse. So first of all, I'm using the Tridivia deck. Okay, again, there's a link in my description with a discount code if you like the look of this deck and want to buy yourself the deck. But this is fabulous deck for the eclipses because this is a total eclipse, and that means the sun will go completely dark, like I said, for 4 minutes, 28 seconds at the full totality, which I will be near. And so the card I actually pulled, I'm just going to look at that one first, and then I'm going to look at the other card in a minute that I'm pulling because of the degree of the eclipse. 10 of Swords. This says something unexpected happens, which has left you betrayed or in pain. This is where you're coming from as we go into this eclipse first. You experienced a shock as if you had lost the ground under your feet. Instead of feeling self-pity, it's time to remind yourself that times of crisis and loss are often the greatest teachers and give you an opportunity to grow. Remember that nothing is lost. If you learn something from it, things are going to get better. The affirmation for this is, I know that whatever happened, which was out of my control, is preparing me for something better. And that really resonates for me. So I hope it does for you. I love that Chiron is conjunct this eclipse so that we are kind of healing some wounds that have been emerged as we approach this eclipse in a lot of ways. Okay. Now then, I'm going to look at the chart and talk to you about what I will be bringing into this astrologically. Well, here is the eclipse. Look at this, all this Aries energy. The eclipse itself is at 19 degrees of Aries, and it's exactly conjunct Chiron, the shaman, the wounded healer. It's a north node eclipse, which is pulling us towards something. Eris is conjunct the eclipse to the truth teller. Mercury stations retrograde on April the 1st and is moving back towards the eclipse. There's a lot to think about in Aries. Aries is the sign of I am. Aries is passion, drive, will, but Aries is also youth and like the toddler seeing the world with wonder. There's a real air of rebirth in this eclipse. To go back to that card, we've been through a lot. Okay, so go to that Ten of Swords, it may be an individual thing in your life or just the collective chaos we've been living under. What have we learned from it, and how are we healing from it and moving forward with a new beginning, which is very Aries. Okay, so horns forward, if you like, with the ram, the Aries looking at the symbol. But there's a lot other things I'm going to talk about as well. So we look around these degrees. Honestly, if you have anything in your chart around 19 degrees, you are going to be affected in a big way. But because Venus and Hygieia are also in Aries, I think this is encompassing all of us. I haven't met a person who's not affected in a big way by this. But also Mars rules Aries and Mars is in Pisces at 13 degrees. And I'm going to talk to that more as we go forward. But looking around the chart as well at 19 degrees, Jupiter and Uranus are just a few days away from their conjunction at 21 Aries. Uranus as Taurus, sorry. Uranus is already at 21 degrees. Jupiter is heading there, but Jupiter is at the same number degree as the eclipse on this eclipse. Also, we've got Cariclo in aspect to the eclipse, Chiron's wife. Melanie Reinhardt and I talked a little bit about this ongoing sextile of Chiron and Cariclo, bringing in the healing opportunities, Cariclo helping to weave a new story for the future. I'll look more at that. Also, aspecting the eclipse by a square is Ceres. I'll talk more to that. Ceres, what nurtures us, what feeds our needs, has just squared the nodes. So we're feeling that already as well. We also have Black Moon Lilith at 20 Virgo. So in a quincunx energy to the eclipse, but also Black Moon Lilith and Ceres and Jupiter and Uranus are forming this Earth grand trine. So we have that where you can look at that. These are all speaking to each other, really. And I'm also going to bring in Hecate. Hecate is at 23 degrees, but she's really brought in by this fire grand trine to Mercury and Eris. So all of those have to be talked about, and what this kind of pattern that we're weaving is bringing in. Then I did highlight Pluto and Haumea. They are on this ongoing decade, almost decade-long square back and forth to a year, 13 exact squares. We've just had the fifth on March the 20th. Both of those are very creative numbers of the Fibonacci sequence, which really is about the energy, the sequence or pattern of our body, our humanness, but also human nature. So I'll talk more to that. That's at 1 degree, but we've also got Vesta at 2 degrees, so I may talk about that a little bit. We'll see how we go. Everything is talking to each other in this eclipse. This is honestly a massive, massive eclipse energetically. So I'm going to stop this share. First, I'm going to quickly look at the numbers. Okay, because we have these numbers on the eclipse, and this is at 19 degrees, as I said. And so 19 is the ancients called the number 19. This is numerology dash the numbers and their meanings, blogspot.com. I always put that link in my description. My favorite numerology site by Joanne Walmsley. The ancients called this 19 number, the number of surrender. This is about knowing that your life needs to link up with the universal life. Number 19 is an endurance vibration. It brings everything into focus in the only the way that Aries can. This winds up old accounts and starts off anew. When we're being influenced by the number 19, and we can see that it's highly potent on this eclipse, it can be about self-absorption and can bring out on the shadow side some egotistical behavior. But on the positive side, this is about really kind of stepping into your healthy ego. And really about finding your own path forward, all right, and balancing your needs to go back to the needs with the needs of others. So it's not exactly an easy number, as she says. Number one represents new beginnings, and number nine represents endings. And an eclipse itself is often endings and beginnings. It's a reset. This is going to be a big reset. Okay. But it's about have finding the courage, which is very Aries energy as well, bravery to erase past mistakes or learn from them, going back to the Ten of Swords, or so that you can then really develop your true spiritual character with unshakable faith and a philosophy that will sustain you. So I'm reading from her. Okay, so it's kind of massive. Again, it's really huge. So I'm just going to leave it at that, the 19, in terms of the numerology, other than to say the 19 card, I told you I had two cards, it's eclipse is the sun. And it's an eclipsed sun, all right? So we, and the sun really is our core self. And also look at the image on my calendar for this month, for April, for this eclipse. Look at that sun behind the person. Soak up that image too. So let me read what this particular deck has to say about the sun too, because this is the number 19 card. And so 29 card. This is you are feeling great. Abundance, joy, and positivity are illuminating the world. Life is treating you well. Your vibration is high, and you are attracting more wonderful things your way. People are drawn to you because of your warm energy, and you share that generosity with them. Enjoy the enthusiasm and vitality that you experience in this present moment. And know that things are getting better. So that's two messages of things getting better, right? The affirmation for that card is I see magic in everything as I myself am made from stars. So really, this is stepping into your light to, but the light that comes from within, that strong I am energy that knows who they are. And what they want and where they are going. And they don't need to kind of bowl others over. They can integrate the needs of others in a very healthy way because they are doing the work and healing themselves. And so the ending part of this eclipse to my mind, so I'm just going to talk about that. Because it's conjunct Chiron, we've got this Chiron in Aries journey, okay? And Melanie Reinhart and I talked about it on the video that I'll link to in this. I interviewed her. It's been quite a hit, this interview with her. We pointed out that Chiron, it was at 19 degrees when the nodes moved into Aries in July of 2023. And they will be, and Chiron will be at 19 degrees of Aries again when the nodes leave Aries in January 2025. This is really a huge turning point of stepping into that I am energy. Now, I talk about this a lot on my on my Substack blog about, really finding the self through the healthy self focus of self-care, filling your cup first. Making sure you do your self-care routines, doing the work you need to do for getting beyond all those wounds and pains that have let the light come in. Chiron in Aries has opened up those identity wounds so that you are finding who you truly are at your core. And then Aries, the fire, is saying, this is it, I am. And then the sun is in Aries, being literally eclipsed by the moon, saying, step into that sun energy of knowing who you are. That's coming from that place of radiance, of inner radiance, and not having to kind of lord it over anybody else. The sun rules Leo, which is the sign of the king, and it can be a bit egotistical and things. And Hecate is in aspect to this, the way shower, the goddess of the crossroads. And Venus retrograde was in the sign of Leo last summer, asking us to step into our core solar self and putting on our own crown, our sovereignty, but by integrating our emotional, intuitive self, the moon, and the sun, the kind of ego, kind of rational ego self. This is what this eclipse is telling us, coming into that. And for 4 minutes and 28 seconds, the moon, our emotion, our intuitive self is completely blocking out the sun, the fire of the sun, so that we go within and find that real core nugget of passion and fire and inspiration, and that kind of toddler self that knows that we can rebirth ourselves under this energy, and we can heal those wounds that have come up and the cracks are in our identity wounds, and say we can start anew. Now then, to go back to some of the other things that are aspecting that, let me talk about Jupiter Uranus, of course, first. I'll do a whole another video on that. But Jupiter is in the sign of Taurus, which is the most earthly sign, the sign of the senses. See, you know, the five senses: see, speak, smell, hear, and touch. Okay. And says get in touch with your senses. Integrate that knowledge, which is Jupiter, is kind of higher knowledge. Jupiter is kind of the king with the rules and the natural laws and the higher knowledge and learning and the teacher. But he's in the sign of Taurus, the senses, and saying, you know, we need to integrate all of this. Jupiter is about conjunct Uranus, which is radical change and awakenings and opportunity and kind of ahas and light bulb moments. Since eclipse energy really lasts about or unfolds over the next 6 months, this is real regeneration, rebirth, all of those kind of things. And Mercury is asking us to go within with our thoughts as well, because Mercury is retrograde on this eclipse. It's this is just, but it's really about coming into balance with, for want of a better term, the masculine and feminine within you, but then also rippling that out in a very kind of renewed way, so that your pathway forward is one of loving the self and then loving others. I was just listening to Brené Brown's Gifts of Imperfection again this morning, because I was inspired to by the astrology as of this morning as I wrote my daily post on Substack. And she talks about the self-care and self-love, how it's easy to not put yourself first and to just deplete yourself completely, giving to others, or the converse, putting yourself and your needs and wants forward first so much that you don't consider the needs of others at all. This eclipse is about a new start in doing that, of integrating that, making sure you do that self-care and learning to love yourself and find who you are at your core, but also integrating that into the needs of others. Putting your oxygen mask on first, whatever you want to say. Now then, also at 18 degrees, very close to the 19 degree mark, is Nessus in Pisces. I've talked about Nessus a lot over recent months, but the eclipse is at the midpoint of that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction and Nessus. Nessus in Pisces has been revealing intergenerational traumas and the pain of living under the society that we live under, whether it's through our family, whether it's through the culture, And all those traumas have come up to the surface to be healed. And Nessus is saying the buck stops here. We're not doing this anymore. And then Cariclo at 17 degrees Aquarius is in a sextile aspect to this eclipse, which is supportive. She is there helping us to weave all of this together into a new story of what we hope and wish for the future. I'm going to pull it all together in a minute. One, the last en energy, no, I wanted to talk about Ceres. I don't think I talked about Ceres completely. Ceres in Capricorn, aspecting the eclipse, squaring the eclipse, has just squared the lunar nodes. Ceres is about recognizing that the structures we are living under do not feed our needs. But she is saying, it's time to create a boundary around that and learn to master filling our own needs in this amazing shifting time. We cannot expect anybody else to fill our needs. It's great if we marry people and things that are able to see our needs and meet some of our unmet needs. But really, we can never expect anybody else to. And it's also about looking back about how the structures you were brought up under could, again, could be your family, could be the culture, did not meet your needs. And this is about learning, mastering your own, filling your own needs. Then we have Black Moon Lilith in Virgo. Black Moon Lilith in Virgo. Black Moon Lilith is generally shame and vulnerability, and back to gifts of imperfection in Brené Brown. Black Moon Lilith is in perfectionist Virgo on this eclipse and is making what's called a quincunx of adjustment about, read her book again, listen to it. But this is about learning to love and accept all your imperfections as well. That doesn't mean you have to act on them all the time, but it really means about not feeling the shame and rejecting parts of yourself. And it means more about coming into wholeness and working with those parts of yourself. Virgo is on the other end of the spectrum, is about wholeness, about learning to work with the details, kind of analyzing it, some self-analysis, and saying, yes, that's where I feel shame. That's what comes up, and here's how I can work with that so that I can find my core self and come into that sense of wholeness. Now then, Black Moon Lilith is also in this lovely Earth grand trine of healing breakthroughs. To unmet needs, mother wounds, Ceres in Capricorn, all of that kind of stuff coming up to Jupiter Uranus in the sign of Taurus. Taurus is about getting rooted in your values, in your self-worth, in your own senses, in your humanness, as I like to say, to realize that this is it. You are human, and this is about your journey towards wholeness. This is what's been coming up over and over again. And it could not be bigger on this eclipse, to be quite honest. But it is about that kind of rebirth into that sense of, oh my goodness, now I realize what this whole path is on about. This whole path of being here and being human and finding our core self and all the personal development and personal growth and I'm finding myself, but it's all about finding yourself within in this post-hero's journey time where we always felt we had to go out and conquer something to find what's really within. My own journey's done that. I remember moving from the UK to Saskatchewan, Canada, to nanny for a year in at the end of 85 was when I went. I took the plunge after a breakup, but I remember picking the most remote place I could find to go and work and live for a year, to go and find myself. I remember saying it. I felt the answer would be out there on the prairies somehow. And yes, I did, learn some things, but the answer has always been within. And this is what this has been moving towards. This is this sense of rebirth, is knowing that unless you come into this strong sense of knowing yourself, loving yourself, caring for yourself, loving all the shameful bits, loving all the bits that, are reactive and so on, and learning to be less of that or loving them anyway, even when those bits you don't like, or the protectors or exiles or firefighters in internal family systems work, it's just kind of saying, I love you. You don't have to do this anymore. We can work together. And that brings me to Mars on this eclipse. Mars, the ruler of all that Aries energy. Mars is at 13 degrees Pisces and is just a hair's breadth away from a conjunction with Saturn in Pisces, which is often described as one foot on the throttle, one foot on the brake. Okay. But this is coming together to master something in my mind about both slowing down and moving forward. But Mars is at 13 degrees. 13 degrees is the number of the divine feminine. And in Pisces, Mars is softened. Mars is the spiritual warrior, is the calm warrior. It's going, I do not need to be aggressive and finding the answers out there anymore. I can tune into this collective energy of protection and guardianship instead. I can rest my sword a little bit and stop fighting the world and tune into that intuitive side and go, yeah, this is where it's all at. This is what Mars is saying to me on this eclipse. The conjunction to Saturn is saying, I can stop. Can stop constantly battling and fighting and trying to like step over anybody else who gets in my way. Not saying you all do that all the time, but I'm sure we can see how we all do that or how our culture does that. And see out each of us for our humanity, but also, to come from that place of higher love, which is also very Pisces. And to see the good in others, even if their actions might need to be held accountable. We are always in this fight, 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 fight energy or freeze. Or so all of this, the responses, the fight, freeze. What's the other one? Fight, freeze, fawn, flight, flight as well. Aries can run away as well sometimes. We do not have to do that anymore. We can all learn to be present, hold space for others to do their own healing whilst doing our own. This is quite magical, people. So, if the message doesn't resonate, maybe you're not meant to hear it yet. I know I wasn't always in my lifetime, but it's amazing. So I want to quickly look at the symbols, okay, for this. But before I look at the symbols for this eclipse, I do want to say, please subscribe, please leave me a thumbs up, please leave me a comment, and go and give yourself a hug if you feel like giving me a thumbs down. And then, okay, so let's start with the Sabian symbol. On the interview with Melanie Reinhart, if you've watched that, Melanie read Rudyard's interpretation of the Sabian symbol. And because this is such a big eclipse, I'm going to just go there again, and then I want to read a couple of other interpretations, which will be similar, but that's fine. Anyways, the Sabian symbol is a young girl feeding birds in winter. It's this young girl. This is energy of rebirth of the divine feminine. This seeing it with that young eyes, the new world, but also feeding birds, which is often a mental thing, right, by the way, but also it's very healing action. And so the keynote for that is overcoming crises through compassion. That can be an internal crisis, or we see it in the world, the crisis we're in. But the theme of this, okay, really is the transmutation of life into love, which is what everything is about. I'm just going to actually pause the recording for a moment. I won't be 1 second. I heard the garage door go, so I just wanted to say, hey, I'm recording. Anyway, so this is one of the central messages of transmutation of life into love, but also love for yourself. Okay, so that's a big part of it. Now then, let's go to jamesburgess.com. He does some great commentary as well on the Sabian symbols. So his interpretation of a young girl feeding birds in winter is seeing life as a constant opportunity to experience love. He says life's very harshness is what enables us to learn of love's unfathomable depths. And he said it's about being innocent and fearless in love. I'm not going to read everything that he said. And this is not about fanciful love. This is about love in action. Okay. Now, Linda Hill on her website, sabiansymbols.com, she actually did a whole book as well. She said this is about nurturing innocence as well, that sense of innocence. If you think about the young children, they are full of love and they just want to be loved as well. But she said this symbol is about feeding energy to situations that feel cold, hopeless, and lost, and about small efforts bringing their own rewards, and about taking time out for others and yourself. I'm going to add that bit. Okay, so, she also adds that non-judgmental attitudes can move you forward and lead others to trust, but that means trusting yourself first. I added that bit. Now I'm going to go to the Chandra symbols, and then I am just going to leave you with this. It's such a huge eclipse, but anyway, I love the symbols in this. So this is actually the Omega symbol. Aries 20. We always go up. This is from John Sandbach's blog, who channeled these symbols. So he says it's streets littered with many colors of confetti. He said this is inspired and manifesting, and it's about victory over addictions, this whole degree. Actually, I'm going to talk about the Saros cycles before we go. So stay around for those too, because everything's important on this eclipse. He says, with the Omega symbol, you have the ability to bring a vibration of celebration into all aspects of everyday life. You are communicating to people how to renew themselves and how to blossom out of their set patterns and routines. But I think you're actually inspiring them to do it, okay, as well as communicating. You're communicating them by action. But anyway, it's important to not become frustrated if your message sometimes isn't heard. I'm laughing because of my comment about the thumbs down. You are on a different wavelength from other people. Many cannot embrace the joy and enthusiasm for life that you can. But don't let this stop you. For people need the exuberant energy you have to offer. The Chandra symbol for this degree is an empty courtyard. Before change can happen, there must be a place prepared inside so that the new may enter. Celebration is the acknowledgement that something important has occurred and that it should be honored. But once the celebration is over, the way is clear for the next step of the journey, blessed with the colors of the recent triumph. The confetti lying in the streets is about what is over. The empty courtyard is about what is coming, and this degree stands at the crossroads of that time of renewal, acknowledging the past and open to the future. I'm actually going to read his Pleiadian symbol again as well, which is his channeling of the Sabian symbol. So he says, a young girl feeding diamonds to a flock of baby phoenixes. Now, this is available to every one of us on this eclipse. It's quite amazing. Now, again, I said I would leave you, but I'm going to talk about the Saros cycle from Bernadette Brady's amazing book. First of all, eclipses are all in Saros cycles. So let me read to you what she says about Saros cycles. There are two eclipse seasons every year, one on the south node and the other on the north node. Lunar eclipses are a byproduct of the geometry of any given solar eclipse. She says solar eclipse is not an isolated incident, but rather a member of a particular Saros series. A Saros series has a birth or first eclipse at either the north or south pole, and then once a series starts, it will travel at a regular rate to the opposite pole. Any given Saros series will produce an eclipse every 18 years and 9 to 11 days. The total number of eclipses in one series is between 70 and 72, which kind of makes me laugh because there's a tarot book called 72 Degrees of Wisdom. But anyway, each Saros series will take approximately 1280 years to complete. Each Saros series is named for the pole of origin and numbered from 1 to 19 based on years of occurrence. Each Saros series will produce an eclipse approximately 10 degrees further along in the zodiac every 18 years. And a given Saros series transits a chart in roughly 650 years' time. So this eclipse is Saros series north, eight north, sorry, Saros series eight north. It began on May the 17th, 1501, at the North Pole, and will not end until June the 23rd, 2745. Now, this eclipse happened for the closest ones. I'm not giving them all, but this eclipse series was in 1916, 1934, 1952, 1970. The year my husband was born, so there you go. 1988 was a big year for me, 2006, another big year for me, and 2024, the next one will be 2042. Now then, I'm not going you if you want to, you can look at all the series on astro-seek.com. They give all the dates of the eclipses, but I just do want to mention that this eclipse series began with an eclipse at 4 degrees Gemini, and so there is an energy of, this change again with a Gemini energy that began the series because it's Gemini. And also coming, bringing us together in community and also of the mind. So her interpretation of this whole Saros series, every eclipse in this series is inventiveness and flashes of genius are the hallmark of this series. The individual will have intuitive leaps, insights, good ideas, visions, or vivid dreams. This newfound inspiration will pull the person away from their social life or relationship, thereby causing strain in their private life if we're not mindful, That means we don't forget the needs of others. But this is a time when we need to be free, if only for a few weeks. So, you can do that inner work without completely neglecting anybody else. But this is such an eclipse of personal sovereignty, rebirth of I am. I know myself. I found myself. I've got this inspiration. I feel inspired. And then I want to inspire others too. So much love to you. By the way, if you want to know where it is for me, it's forming a fire grand trine with my Uranus in Leo and my Sagittarius Sun. And I am also about to have the third exact square of my Uranus square. So I am very inspired. So if I'm too much for you again, I give you a big hug. I love you. I will see you next time.